from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I got a joke for you, Bonte.
Featuring
Bill Moore's finest, Bonte here. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Crack, crack, crack.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. It is a Tuesday morning as we crawl our way through the dog days of August. It truly is the dog days. Giants are dogging it, even though they beat the White Sox. Yee, woo, wee, woo, wee, yay. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. And also, who's their names who qualify? Who do we qualify for? We qualify two people.
Yes, so we got Bill Abraham. He'll be coming in to have breakfast with us. And joining him, he'll have his plus one. But also there will be Jaime Anguiano. He'll be coming in as well to have breakfast
with us. Bill and Jaime.
Yeah, and they will be joining Janae G and Verducci from the El Dorado Hills.
All right, there it is. There it is. All right, so we'll do that. We'll qualify six more people this week. Listen all week. Listen all week between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, and we'll have breakfast. Breakfast all together, September the 6th. It's a Friday as we kick off football season, and Jack's Restaurant is providing the breakfast. They are providing the breakfast. As we say, good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. You got to think the overnight dancers had a rough one after a great weekend. Monday night in the city, no pro-am going on.
But that went over the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the White Sox can have some fun. Maybe if I am a Chicago White Sox, I'm in and up at the Gold. I'm in up at Vanity Gold Club, whatever it is.
Can't make any worse.
I mean, 38-96. What do you have to lose?
It can only go up.
That's what most people say when they walk into those establishments.
It can only go up. Yes.
I had to make it more heavy-handed.
I'm sorry. I hate to break the narrative.
Oh, man. All right. So, Baldy breaking down football. Purdy, why is he playing out there with the guys? And, you know, thankfully he didn't get hurt. Didn't make much sense. I mean, you don't need an agent. You don't need anybody to tell you. It's like, whoa, Purdy's throwing to Danny Gray. He's throwing to Trent Taylor. What's going on here? Why are you using your franchise quarterback in that fashion? But you asked Baldy about Tua Tagovailoa, and Tua joined the Dan Le Batard show yesterday and spoke about, I guess he got asked about Brian Flores. And remember, Brian Flores was a former coach of the Miami Dolphins, now defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see him in week two with the 49ers and Sam Darnold and company. Very good defensive coordinator. His stint as head coach with the Miami Dolphins did not go well. He traded a receiver from the Houston Texans. The name is evading me because of some of the political stuff and everything that was happening down in Miami. He ended up suing the Miami Dolphins. It was a mess.
Willie Sneed,
it was a mess.
No,
well, no, was it wasn't Willie Sneed. Was it Fuller? I think it was, I want to say Kenny Stills, maybe? I could be wrong.
Right. You might
could
be right.
wrong. But remember, well, he traded him to Houston? There was a lot going on down there in Miami.
Apparently, the owner tried to wine and dine Tom Brady,
right.
and they were trying to tank, and he incentivized Brian Flores to be able to tank. There's been a lot. I think the general consensus, though, was that, and whether people believe the report or not, the report was essentially that he was very mean and tough to be around on a daily basis.
Yep. Yep, and here's Tua, what he had to say about Brian Flores. As the quarterback, as a young quarterback, going down to South Beach, and they're looking for a franchise quarterback, and they got one in Tua. They feel like they give him a big, fat contract extension, and they really haven't had consistency at the position since really Dan Marino retired. I mean, they've had Jay Feeler. They've had Chad Pigott. They've had a who's who of quarterbacks here. Here's what Tua had to say about Brian Flores.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of, not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
So it's Baldy mentioned, not a great endorsement for Brian Flores. And now I was just listening, I think it was Nick Saban on Hard Knocks. He was talking to Matt Eberflus. Or maybe it was Nick Saban somewhere else. I've seen a lot of Nick Saban, and I love him and Belichick on television. We'll get to Belichick in a little bit. But Nick Saban says, you know, with the quarterback, you have to really know who that guy is. And you have to give him positive reinforcement because it is the most important position in all of football. And I go back to Jim Harbaugh. What he did to empower Alex Smith. Hey, the locker room scenes. Remember they beat Detroit in the handshake gate with Jeff Schwartz. And Jim Harbaugh, every single game, would point at Alex Smith. Clutch. You're clutch. You're the best quarterback in the league. Now, we as fans didn't believe that. But he gave Alex Smith all the positive reinforcement in the world, hit shoulder pads or whatnot. And I always believed that's the way to go with quarterback. Not necessarily spoil them, but really talk to them very calmly and kind of wrap your arms around them when things get a little hairy. Bill Walsh did it at times with Joe Montana, even though he tried to trade Joe Montana a few times. But the famous image of Bill Walsh and Joe Montana in the dirt, drawing up plays together. That's an iconic image. Brian Flores didn't do that with Tua. How do you think Kyle Shanahan handles his quarterbacks? Is he more of a Brian Flores type? Is he more of a Jim Harbaugh type? Is he more of an Andy Reid type? Is he more of a quarterback coddler? Where does Shanahan fall in this equation?
Well, I think he's a player's coach because his players swear by him. And they know that they, you know, if they buy into the system, they're going to have crazy success. I also believe that, like, he's got a little bit of both, right? He's got a little bit of the players coach thing, but at the end of the day, I actually think he's probably leans a little more old school because he's very specific with his demands. And I do think that he will, you know, Belichick, Don Nelson, doghouse you if you're not doing exactly what he needs. I'm a believer in life of, like, your mental outlook is as important as whatever your physical makeup is. That's the way and I know some people don't agree with that, that's fine, but that's how I view things. And I think that, you know, Hunter Pence has talked about this, and I agree with him to a degree. Like, you have to think it and believe it in your heart and your head before you can go out and do it. Now, a lot of other people might scoff at that, but I believe in the mental power, right? And it doesn't mean that Joe Shasky's going to dunk from the free throw line just because I believe it. You know, you've got to do a lot of things. But put yourself in this position. Any work environment, if everything is always negative and never positive, you're not going to perform at your most optimal. And I do believe at times you got to put your arm around people and coddle them up. There's a time to kick them in the pants. Yep. There's a time to coddle them. And it's up to the great coaches to figure out when and where. Think about this in the Super Bowl. And I think Andy Reid's more of a player's coach than he is a Belichick angry guy.
He is.
Him and Kelce had a moment in the Super Bowl. Right? And that could have gone a variety of ways. And I think that both guys responded the way that they did, where it looked like Kelce, I don't know, was it like an elbow shove? I don't even know what
He was not happy. Like, he wanted that ball.
I don't know how Shanahan would respond to something like that. That's never happened. But I think that that's interesting and telling of the relationship between Kelce and Andy, that that would even happen on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And it was very unique. Who is Shanahan? I think with Jimmy... Jimmy was a guy I actually think you needed to coddle more than what he did. I think he's done a good job thus far of praising and then also critiquing Brock Purdy in certain situations. I feel like there's some growth in Kyle in that aspect. I don't think he's like Brian Flores every day, but I think he's got a lot of that in him. I mean, look at the Ayuk situation right now. You're hearing murmurs of like the doghouse from a couple of years ago, and I think he's got a little Belichick in him. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Mike Shanahan seemed like he coddled his quarterbacks. Steve Young got the best out of Steve Young. Got the best out of John Elway multiple times. He was the OC with John Elway before it, you know. And then think about Brian Griese and Mike Shanahan. He empowered Brian Griese. He empowered Jake Plummer. He found Jake Cutler. But you get to Washington, and you get the situation with Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins, and that's what people remember about Mike Shanahan.
You like that?
The way that situation went down.
That's the, I call that the Holmgren school of teaching, right? When I look at all the Holmgren guys who were on that staff, Mooch and Gruden and Andy Reid, like there's a teacher element to all of those guys.
No doubt. Mike Holmgren did it with Matt Hasselbeck. Nobody knew who Matt Hasselbeck was, and he got him to a damn Super Bowl.
Yep.
And he pumped, infuse a lot of belief in a Matt Hasselbeck. So I don't know where Kyle stands, but I do agree with the Jimmy thing, because coming off of Jim Harbaugh and the way he empowered Alex Smith, now he ended up giving away his job to Colin Kaepernick, and that was his handpicked guy, and he empowered Colin Kaepernick. Hell, he's empowering him to this day. He's offering coaching jobs to freaking Colin Kaepernick. That's how Harbaugh loves hard on his players. He does. I mean, we think of him as a CEO type, but he's kind of a player's coach too. He empowers his former players. He empowers players. He's all about the players. Remember all the time Harbaugh would talk about, yeah, he deserves a contract extension. He did not care. It's like, this guy needs to get paid. He's a good football player. So Andy Reid does that very well. Mooch did it, as you mentioned, and all these other guys. But Shanahan, when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he would have got the best out of Jimmy. And the more it went on alongside Jimmy Garoppolo, the more the trade rumors, the more the fan base got on him, the more Jimmy kind of like, you know what, screw this. I'm playing for myself and myself only. And, you know, I'm not saying Jimmy's an angel, but it probably would have helped the situation. And I wonder if Shanahan has learned from that. I wonder how the players feel about that. Is Shanahan more of a player's coach? Is he a coach? Is he, hey, get away from me, I'm doing my thing? I don't see that.
I do think he's close with a lot of his players. Because, like, I mean, there's a whole, like, Cabo crew that they're very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he sways back and forth. Like, McVay is an interesting one. I think McVay is a straight-up player's coach.
No doubt.
But there was a point in time where he gave up on Goff. Like, he just did. We all knew it. And he was hypercritical of Goff. And I will give him credit. He moved off Goff immediately. Once he lost faith, he moved off him that offseason and just ripped the Band-Aid off. But I don't think he did Goff any favors in that final year. I think that he learned a lesson throughout that entire process. So I think Kyle's learned certain things at every single stop. And I look at the Brock relationship currently, and I think he's praised Brock rightfully and way more than any other quarterback he has at least in San Francisco. I can't speak for the Texans and Cleveland and Washington, but at least San Francisco, I feel like he's hyped up Brock in a way that Kyle, you know, he's never going to like, Brock's a superstar. That's not him. Harbaugh would say like the greatest hands ever in the history of football. Oh, yeah. He would say these hyperbolic things. That's not Shanahan.
No,
but in his own way, he does praise Brock over the top.
No, yeah, nah. Jim Harbaugh was great with that. He followed Crabtree running routes, just staring at him, saying, oh, man, he's got these great vice grips. Harbaugh sees unique, man. Do the Shanahans deserve a mulligan for the RG3 situation? Because seeing who RG3 has become, now, I guess ESPN just let him go.
Well,
and I thought he was a very good commentator, actually. I thought the other Shanahans, like in the booth, RG3, I could see him in college football on a panel. I thought it was a little too much. Twitter was a little too much.
Okay, that might be true. I saw it differently. I saw him, the Ponder thing. Those were financial moves. You can't make, you know, $5 million and be a C-list announcer.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I thought he was solid in the booth.
He's fine. For college football. I think he was making too much money.
Right.
See, I think both moves were fine. ESPN's not making a lot of money. I mean, look around the country.
But what I'm saying, though, is just looking at the character RG3 has become.
Oh, he's a little goofy.
Out there. He's a little goofy.
I would agree.
So do the Shanahans get a mulligan over that? Now, he shouldn't have been playing on that turf, on that grass field. Knee gave out. It was janky as hell. They did draft Kirk Cousins in the same draft, just in case.
Show me a coach who's coached for 20, 30, 40 years, and I'll show you a line of people who thought that the coach did that family and that player dirty. It's the greatest coaches in the history of the game are going to have people that think they shortchanged them. It happens.
No doubt it happens. But it feels like the Shanahans get a bad label for that situation when they have a lot of evidence of being very quarterback friendly and having quarterback friendly systems and getting the best out. Like we saw the best out of Jay Cutler in Denver. They advanced to an AFC championship game. Did Jay Cutler look better in Chicago than he did in Denver? No, I don't know.
I thought his best years were in Denver, even though I know he had a couple of decent seasons in Chicago.
No doubt. Brian Griese. They had a couple of years in Denver. Best years in Denver, right? John Elway wins two Super Bowls with Mike. Steve Young.
Yep.
Was that his best season ever under Mike Shanahan as the offensive coordinator? Possibly, yes.
Well, now go to Kyle and, like, I mean, Schaub.
Matt Schaub.
I mean, him and Andre Johnson were incredible. It's Matt Schaub we're talking about. I think Kyle Shanahan's Matt Ryan is another example of someone whose best years were with Kyle Shanahan. What Kyle has done is pretty proven. A really good coach,
right?
If not great coach, you know, depending on who you're talking to. I do think you're right that the RG3 thing has really stuck in everyone's head,
right?
That one RG3 thing has like kind of, because they weren't alone in that, by the way. Right. LaFleur was on that staff.
No, he was.
And McVay was on that staff. Yep. And there's a lot of guys on that staff. Now, I know the Shanahans ran things. I also think there's just that Washington team is a lightning rod for criticism and just media. Right. And they were, I don't know, like, I think the way the Shanahans operated, they did themselves no favors, and that situation has lingered much longer than it should have.
Kyle Shanahan, is he a quarterback whisperer? Well, look, he's gotten the best out of a lot of these quarterbacks. Nick Mullins is still in Minnesota playing. Who would have known who Nick Mullins is? And you think about that coaching tree and all the people that's come from the Shanahan / McVay tree. O'Connell in Minnesota.
He looks awesome.
Looks like he's a quarterback-friendly type. Like watching a quarterback, Doc.
I like him.
Him and Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Had a very good rapport. The way he spoke to Kirk Cousins. Zach Taylor and the relationship with Joe Burrow.
I like Zach Taylor.
Not too bad. Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love.
I think Matt LaFleur last year proved to me that he's a really good coach. I underrated him. I mean, the two seasons, with Aaron Rodgers should have proved it, but I was like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Nah, LaFleur can coach.
Bobby Slowick, Houston offensive coordinator.
I think he looks pretty legit.
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, he'll be the hot name, him and Ben Johnson. Right.
They've got a great job. And Ben Johnson, I don't know what tree he's from, but him and Jared Goff get along very, very well. Not sure what tree he's from.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But the Shanahan / Mike McDaniel course in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa, he's gotten the best out of that offense. He's gotten the best out of that quarterback. And from day one, he's empowered him. He's like, look, we're going to do great things together. You are great. Like, just getting the mindset right, because I remember, you know me, I was high on Tua at Alabama, man. I love me some Tua. And he got hurt. He got banged up. So I'm pulling for a guy like that. But just as we started the conversation, it is pretty wild that Tua Tagovailoa, who was very understated, He's not going to say a whole lot.
Pretty chill.
Very chill. The God's head out about Brian Flores, you know it was deep.
I think we learned here in San Francisco, Mike Nolan and Alex Smith, that did end Mike Nolan. If you screw up the relationship head coach to quarterback, you're done.
Yeah. Yep.
You're done. Now, it depends on what quarterback the issue is. But, like, look around the league right now. Like, why did Carolina get with a new coach? Because they want to salvage Bryce Young.
Yep.
Right? You know, why do we think so highly of, Ben Johnson with Detroit? Because, wow, look what he's done with Jared Goff. Right. You know, why do we look so highly at McVay? And, like, it's quarterback, and the relationship with the quarterback. And I think the days of the old school Belichick, I can scream at Brady for 20 straight years. Even Brady threw his hands up at the end and was like, Bill, give me a little bit of leeway. I just don't think you can be that angry every day.
Well, here's Brady on coaches being hard on quarterbacks, speaking of Tom Brady.
If the coach was going to be hard on me, I was going to accept the difficult coaching because I needed to hear it. And again, it motivated me. And there was a lot of players on our team that would see me get coached hard and that they would say, okay, I got to step my game up because I don't want to get yelled at. Tom's getting yelled at. I don't want to get yelled at. Yeah. How do I up my game? And I think that's what accountability looks like. And you can't be, you know, so have your ego so big that, you know, any criticism is gonna, you know, lessen your confidence. I mean, look, you're going out there in a Super Bowl in 2 weeks in Vegas. You got hundreds of millions of people watching. You better be tough at that point. You better have, you know, not go in there with, you know, a weak attitude.
Fragile.
I think you got to go in there and you got to embrace the challenge, embrace the opportunity. You're going to be tested. And if your coach tests you and your teammates test you, then you can go beat your competition.
That's Tom Brady. He believes in getting coached hard is essential. He likes it.
Wouldn't you agree, though, there's a fine line?
That's courtesy of ESPN, by the way.
I love listening to Brady talk, but wouldn't you agree there's a fine line on that?
There is, but that is the great of the greats right there, Tom Brady. He's one of the greatest. I mean,
no, like Duncan. Like, think about Popovich and Duncan.
He coached him hard.
Yeah, no doubt, but it's not like Pop didn't give him a high five.
Oh, yeah. No, they would go have wine at the end of the day. Hey, let's go out for a team dinner.
Because I see this with a lot of, like, and I know people probably like, you can't compare youth sports, but I see a lot of dads coaching their kids. And they'll just crush their kid. Just absolutely crush their kid in front of the entire team. And I get it. You got to coach your son hard. And I understand they're trying to set the tone. But it's okay to give him a high five when he gets a double
or
when he scores a bucket. And I think that, to Brady's point, getting coached up hard, I believe in that. Yeah. I do. But I also believe that every now and then, you do got to give a guy a little bit of props.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think
you can't suffocate him with negativity.
Yeah, I think Shanahan does that, no doubt. And I think Belichick did that with Brady, where they would meet up, said, "Hey, Tom, I like when you did this. Tom, I like when you did that." And the great ones know that. You got to show them tough love at times. You got to coach them, though, because it is like one of the reasons. And I think back to, I don't know why I went to this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, for example, David Blatt's the head coach, and that team checked out of David Blatt because he would criticize and coach up everybody, with the exception of LeBron James. And even LeBron at that point was like, dude, you got to, come on, man. So then off he goes, and Ty Lue comes in, and Ty Lue's going to hold everybody accountable. Hey, Bron, we need this. Kyrie, we need this. And then everybody else falls in line. So I like what Tom said there about being coached hard. I kind of like that. Because there's two, sometimes it could be the complete opposite. There's too much coddling.
Oh, well,
and guys just do whatever the hell they want to do.
Ted Bonte, that's society.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of coddling
going on. Fruit snacks and Capri Suns all day long. Like, we just got beat 19 to nothing.
Well, there's
like, come on now.
Like I look at Tanner Mordecai, who's playing for the Niners right now. He played on, like, a zillion different college teams.
Yeah.
Right? And there is something to be said for the modern day. Like, I believe in, hey, if it's not working for you at one school, go to another. Like, I believe in that. But there's a fine line on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not playing. I'm going to go here. Oh, I'm not playing here. I'm going to go there.
Right.
At some point, you do need to face adversity.
No
you get
doubt.
What I'm saying?
No
like
doubt.
In terms of the coddling, I do feel like we're reaching an inflection point with some of these college transfers.
You know, the Schneiders that I know, they went to SI class in 96, 97, and their brothers, and they're shooting a documentary, Josh Hunt.
Uh-huh.
They're shooting a documentary on a game played between Balboa High School and St. Ignatius in that wild playoff game at Kezar when Balboa was a high-scoring team in California. Yeah. Winters Patterson and Marquette Alexander. Yeah. Winters Patterson, unfortunately, lost his life shortly later on that summer. He was a hell of a player. He was dropping 66, 72. They were number one team. They were supposed to win a state championship. And they asked me to shoot some.
Ollie
Thomas was on SI, breaking the press with Josh Hunt.
Yeah.
And they won that game in overtime. And you could see the adversity. where SI was better built for adversity. You think about their resources, their infrastructure, the coddling at times, but also we're going to give you tough love with Don Lippy. And then Balboa, where it was like everybody's counting on these guys to be a meal ticket. And once they faced adversity for the first time, the coach is losing his mind. The players are like kind of lost there. And so it all comes in all walks of life here when, you know, when you talk about the complexities. It background has a lot to do with it, too.
No doubt.
What background did you come from?
You know, there's a Brady cut that I sent to the group thread that I'd like to play on the other side, just about building programs and just modern society. And I look at what the Niners have built, and it's no surprise to me why they hit on all these late draft picks that we were talking about. They might miss some first rounders, but they hit because of the program they've built.
No doubt. That's coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
Head to Safeway this week for these member deals. Signature Select Delicious Pork Spare Ribs sold whole in a bag, $3.99 per pound. Sweet Corn, 34 cents each or six for $2. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Bonte Hill telling you to check out Jack's Restaurant and Bar. You don't believe me? Wait till I eat breakfast Friday, September the 6th, and show you guys in an Instagram video about the breakfast they're serving up. But it's not just breakfast they serve up. They also serve lunch and dinner 7 days a week in the Bay Area. That's right. They have an extensive menu with great food from Greek classics to burgers, salads, sandwiches, nachos, wings, and much, much more. You can count on Jack's for an omelet and coffee before your work, or a cocktail or beer after you've clocked out. It's a great place if you want to watch the Giants and stay awake. You can watch a Warriors game or a Niners game there. Jackson's where it's at, with locations in Pleasant Hill, San Mateo, San Jose, Newark, and of course my favorite spot in San Bruno, alongside Baby Chez. We love our Jacks right down the street from our crib. I've also heard they're opening up the Cantina. That's right. Created by three brothers, John, Chris, and David. Jack's is an all day, any day kind of place that makes great food. It always makes you feel welcome and part of Jack's family. It's just what they do. Come down today or visit ilovejacks.com. That's ilovejack.com for delivery or pickup. Oh, man. Is this 80s? Can you just run it back? I just like the first 15 seconds of that. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me see where the beat goes. Oh, see, this is the part.
I don't even know who this is.
This
is Sam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What was this playlist? Hold.
Were you born in 78?
Oh, this is... Of course, Sam Love. It works out to this. This is Course of Sam Love music.
What is walking into Oracle Park like this?
Let's get some going.
Any guesses on this one?
No clue. As soon as the voice hits or the lyrics, I'm sure it'll give it away. But I don't know.
Duran?
I don't know.
What is this?
I'll wait for the lyrics to start. So you guys try.
Oh my god!
Oh, wait, it's an hour.
6 minutes long.
All right, this is Queen's Radio Gaga.
Oh, is it? Oh. I should have known that. And again, we're doing playlists in honor of Kirk Cousins' playlist that was revealed for his birthday. He's 36 years old, and they revealed it on social media for the Falcons, and it's basically just Fall Out Boy, The Killers, and every other emo band from the early 2000s or alternative. So Sam Lubin today, maybe Bonte Urshavsky tomorrow.
I should do a playlist. I should get
a playlist. I need you guys' top five songs. Send them to me individually so we don't spoil them.
I've been all over the place. Yesterday was a Paul Wall day. It was a Houston day. It was like Mike Jones, Paul Wall.
I got the internet going.
I got the internet
chameleon air.
Dude,
I remember when he was just a chameleon.
Yeah, big X to
before
plug.
He was a millionaire.
You know, Mexican OT is going to be up in Sacramento, I think, next month. I may have to go see that. Get Big Dog City. Mexican OT. Yeah, I love that guy. Oh my gosh, I love that guy. He's got some bangers. Today was a Nipsey Hussle day. The other day was Tupac. I mean, I've been all over the place. Jay-Z. Wow, I love music. Love music. Hip-hop and rap, obviously. Taylor Swift may make the playlist. Scott's bangers. What is it, Delicate? Dedicate? I don't know what it is, but it came on. I let it ride. I let that thing ride. Fight it, Spadoni. I'm telling you, I let it ride. That thing was bumping. I was like, damn, Taylor. Maybe Beyonce. Beyonce's got to tell you, Beyonce, her B-Day album is like damn near 20 years old. And God, that album's still good. Oh, man. Whoever makes her beats, the production value, because that's what it is. If you want to keep me listening, you got to have a good beat. Like, Eminem this loses me. Yes, this is it. My oh, my God. I started. Dude, Chaz and I were in the car like this. Chaz's like, dude, this Papa.
She sounds like a Transformers. You know the Decepticon guy who was the tape?
Any promises? Oh, yeah. Starscream?
I thought it was Shockwave.
Shockwave, you're right. That's
I think
what.
It's Shockwave. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Hey, this is a banger. Hey, I was playing this in the Batmobile. I'm not gonna lie. I was listening to this. I was like, Chess. And she was like knocking. She was banging her head like this. Papa, do this. And I'm like, yeah. And then I was in the car by myself and this came on. I let it ride the entire time. All right, Taylor. You got me now. Maybe it's Swifty. What's your buddy's name? What's the cop, your cousin?
Brent.
I always forget his name. What's his daughter's name?
Maeve.
Look, Maeve, I didn't bet you because Taylor Swift tickets are too much. It's like a first class flight to go to a Taylor Swift concert.
I'm not even gonna
gonna do that. I mean, gosh. But Maeve, if you're out there listening, Brent, can you just tell Maeve, I apologize. And will she accept me as a Swifty? Will she accept me as a Swifty? That's all I want to know, Brent and Maeve. Accept me, please. I bow down.
Did you understand the Transformer Decepticon reference that we made?
Not really. I mean, I watched Transformers 1.
Can you name any Transformer?
Bumblebee.
Okay, good.
Decepticon or something like
no,
that.
No, that's the bad guys.
Okay, yeah, that's the bad guys. So we have Bumblebee. I don't remember the other.
Calvin Johnson, what was his nickname?
Oh, Megatron. Yeah.
Optimus Prime,
of course. That song is horrible, Bonte. What? 925? Are you kidding me? You don't have good music taste. No, I am from Fillmore. And listen, 415, it's a new mobile text line. Sometimes you just got to open up your mind. You know, like, there's a lot of people in the city that I get on. I was like, dude, you got to go travel. You got to get out the neighborhood. You got to do this and do that. Same thing with my brain. Sometimes I need to go outside the box. This is why I do this in sports. We all love football, baseball, basketball. That's always going to be our bread and butter. But as I get older, I appreciate the finer things in life. A little bit of tennis, a little bit of soccer, a little gymnastics, a little bit of swimming. I mean, you got to be open-minded. You got to be able to grow a little bit here, folks. Can't just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Doesn't that get boring? You know, I'm just well-rounded.
Renaissance Bonte.
Hey, I'm telling you, man.
Hear ye, Bonte Hill.
I mean, the king's from the Renaissance.
The king's court.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.
You know, I think about what the Giants are going through right now in terms of their struggle to find an identity, and I contrast that with what the Niners have built over the last few years, and they've really put together a program, right? And I believe in
brick.
That.
Brick by brick.
Like, I watched the New York Giants do their hard knocks in the offseason, and they hired a new defensive coordinator who came in with all kinds of new principles. And when you're looking at the roster that you're trying to put together, they're asking him, what do you need to create a defense that you think is going to be effective? And it's really difficult when you have to get specific players to fit specific needs, and it's changing every 2 to 3 years. Yeah. And I think about what the Niners have built. And I think that you're seeing some evolution to the personnel and some evolution to the schemes. But it's a heck of a lot easier year in, year out. The longer you go, when you've worked with someone for as long as Kyle and John have worked together, like, you kind of know the kind of players that are going to work in the system. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to miss. They missed on Trey Lance. They missed on a lot of picks. Javon Kinlaw, for example. Yeah. Who knows? They might have missed on Ricky Pearsall. We'll find out.
By the way, I'm not going to lie. Mook Dog still follows me on IG. So they're traveling to Carolina for a preseason game. And I DM'd him and I said, get paid, big bro. And he liked it. Mook Dog is coming to Levi's.
That's week one.
I can't wait to see him on the field. Mook Dog!
Again, right, they put together a really good program, and you're going to miss. Every team misses, but you're more likely to hit on more players when you have a system year after year after year, and you know what you're looking for, and you've worked together for a long time. Like, there's a reason Andy Reid in Kansas City, like, they drafted Xavier Worthy, and we all just like, it's going to work. Like, obviously it's going to work. It's Mahomes. Right. But they also have a system. They know what they're looking for in a player. So I look at, like, the Niners draft right now, Renardo Green. I think it's going to work. I don't know.
He looks like a player.
He looks really good.
Matt Maiocco wrote an article about him, how he's making waves. You heard Baldy say the sideline got up and down, jumped up off the bench over Renardo Green. And look, man, that Florida State defense last year was really, really, really good. Oh, I love that Florida State team.
The third rounder, Dominic Pooney. I feel like they kind of know what they're looking for in a lineman now. And so it feels like they hit that guy.
Yeah, he's a starter from day one.
Right? And Aaron Banks, they redshirted him 1 year. Tomlinson was the starter. I mean, they hit that pick. That pick has been a really good pick. He's been a really productive, high-end player for them, right? And I look at some of the other draft picks, like Isaac Arendo, he's been hurt. That's out of their control. Pearsall's been hurt. That's kind of out of their control. Yes, you draft players, and if they have an injury history, we can critique that. Different conversation. I think the late-round picks of the linebacker that we've referenced, Bethune, I think he's a player. I think he's going to be on this team. I really do. D. Winters last year, I think he's going to be on this team. He's a late-round pick.
You know, stopping at Bethune for a second, I'm actually shocked he actually dropped so low in the draft. Because I remember when they drafted him, I was like, Bethune, yeah, Florida State. Because you asked me about the Florida State guys, and I was trying to recall because, you know, they had so many stars. Keon Coleman, Jordan Travis. Mm-hmm. They had the defensive linemen who are both with the LA Rams.
The other tall wide receiver.
The other, Johnny Wilson.
Thank you.
He was legit. They had the tight end Bell, Jaheim Bell, who was like a tight end slash edge. They had dudes, right? So I was like, dude, Bethune. I'm trying to recall Bethune. And then I remember the first game against LSU. Big time fourth down. He's in space. Wide receiver from LSU is running a drag route. Usually you're not going to catch him, right? You're not going to catch that speed. And that's thing you know. Boom, he makes a tackle, fourth down stop. The Louisville game where they're playing with a third-string quarterback and it's 10-6 and it's late fourth quarter and you got to make a play inside the red zone. And he follows a tight end in space and comes up with a big-time interception 15 yards down the field. I'm thinking, damn. The night, and Shasky, you brought him up right away. He's like, I like this Bethune kid, Bethune. And I'm like, man, Florida State, okay, let me – I don't recall him wearing number 15. And next thing you know, he's making plays all over the field. Yeah, you're right. They may have gotten another player out of him.
And then I look at Malik Mustafa, another late-round pick. I think he's going to work. I mean, Tig Brown worked, right?
Yeah.
He's a good player. But I think the reason why all these things work is consistency year over year. Doesn't mean your philosophies can't, you know, slightly evolve and your principles can slightly change. But I think being in that system for that long, it makes it easier in the later rounds because you know what you're looking for. Tom Brady was talking about just college football in general. Yeah. And I'm looking at all these quarterbacks. Penix was drafted this year. He played at two programs. Bo Nix was drafted this year. He played at two programs. Played a lot of football. Both these guys, a lot of starts. You know, Caleb Williams played at two programs. Played a lot of football. Brock Purdy played a lot of football at one program, but played a lot of football. And I'm just looking across the landscape, and I think that reps and snaps and the amount of games played now matters more than almost ever.
Has it always mattered, though? I feel like it's always mattered to a certain point.
I mean,
like playing in big-time college football, like I think, you know, people are going to think Andy Dalton, he's just mediocre. But Andy Dalton had a long NFL career. And
He had a great career.
But I go back to TCU, and that year TCU went to the Rose Bowl. Andy Dalton played a lot of football at TCU, where I thought, boy, he's used to the bright lights. He's used to playing in front of 80,000. Those little things matter to me. Now, not everybody's not going to hit. There's a lot of busts that come out of these big-time programs. There's no doubt about
Fields
that.
Fields played a lot of football. But Fields, you know, Stetson Bennett played a lot of football. I mean, now, Mac Jones, one year, essentially, as a starter at Alabama, even though he was there in that system a very long time. I think Alabama's a great example of a program, right? Like they bring, and the transfer portal has changed a lot of things. But listen to what Tom Brady said here regarding quarterbacks. As we just look at all these rookies and we think about Purdy and everything that's going on and the Niners system, I found this to be one of the more interesting quotes about the game of football currently at both levels.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program, you're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at.
So I 100% agree with that. First of all, I started playing rookies in their first year. I'm always cool with sitting a rookie for his first year, just learning and watching, learning how to be a pro, learning how to break down film, learning how to practice, learning how to be around a professional quarterback. And okay, this is what he's seeing on a day-to-day basis. Let me stand next to the head coach while he call plays. Perfect example is Patrick Mahomes. He was able to sit for a season, and it did wonders for him.
They had a serviceable starter, though.
You got to bring in a veteran.
Serviceable.
He was, but I don't even care if he was a serviceable. Get a veteran in there. Steve DeBerg was starting ahead of Joe Montana, for crying out loud, and he was serviceable for a long time. But I just need a quarter. I would, no matter what, I need my rookie sitting for a year. I'm with Tom.
So if you're Caleb, but like, okay, let's play the other side of this. So like, Caleb's got the kid who played last year at the end of the year, who's very young, in front of him. They got the tattoos. What's
I need a veteran.
Or something?
Yeah, but more so, I would need a veteran. I'd get a
even
veteran.
Even with Caleb?
Even with Caleb.
And the rookie wage scale and everything that you got going?
See, you're rushing these guys into it. He could ruin their careers. He's played a lot of football, but he's played in the Pac-12, right? Do they have sophisticated defenses? You know, you're playing at Oklahoma in the Big 12. Is the Big 12 known for having sophisticated defenses? Not necessarily. That's why I helped Mahomes to come from the Big 12.
Pac-12 was really good last year.
Pac-12 was solid.
It was probably the best year they've had in 15 years.
It was solid, but that doesn't mean that I want to play a rookie.
Washington, Oregon, they were really good programs last year.
I'm with him. I'm with him on benching rookies for their rookie year. I think it's going to help Penix Jr. to sit for a little bit of time. But that's on the team to bring in a serviceable organization, serviceable veteran to let that rookie watch. Like, Kenneth Williams may have his up and downs.
What about C.J. Stroud? So, like, C.J. Stroud didn't sit behind anyone last year, and their situation was very unique, and they had David Mills, who had was a carryover from prior.
There's exceptions to the rule, right, in today's game and age because the game is different.
I think that's a great point.
The game is completely different from when Tom Brady played in the 90s to where we're at in 2024. The spread offense is taking the NFL by storm. I mean, everything's wide open, spacing, motion, all over the place. That's why offensive line play has been so down, because it's like, I think they've had to make the biggest transition, not necessarily quarterbacks or wide receivers, offensive linemen, because they're playing in these four wide receiver sets, and they're in a two-point stance where you get to the NFL, at some point you're going to have to put your hand in the dirt and fire off the football. Offensive line play has been down, I think, so much because of the college system, where quarterbacks and receivers have had an easier time adapting to today's game, but I do still subscribe that I would prefer a rookie to sit and watch, even with the rookie scale. Just watch and learn the game, learn how it is. Now, you're going to have exceptions to the rule, like, defensive ends are a little different, right? We've seen defensive ends come in. Javon Curse, for crying out loud, pops right up. Yeah. The freak, right?
Yeah. You're not going to sit Miles Garrett. What I mean?
You're not going to sit defensive ends.
No, but I think at the quarterback position, it's very interesting. And I look at Brock Purdy looks seasoned. Like, whether he's unbelievable or whether, you think he's just really, really good but not great, fine, whatever. You can tell the guy's played a lot of football. Yeah. A lot of football. And I'm looking at some of these guys. Like Bo Nix. I watched Bo Nix. Again, I know I'm all over the place on Bo Nix. But I watched him. I'm like, yeah, he's played a lot of football. And Sean Payton's been doing this a long time. He knows what he's looking for.
You know.
Makes it easier.
Thinking about what I just said here, and going back to Trey Lance. Not to make it a Trey Lance conversation. But I was in a belief that with Trey Lance not having played a lot of football at North Dakota State, that sitting him behind Jimmy, maybe he wasn't ready to start from day one. But I thought he should have started from day one because he just needed to play.
So
he needed to adapt. And with that team, look, I didn't look at that team as an NFC championship bound team. I thought they would struggle early on, and they did struggle early on, but Jimmy helped turn it around, and they ended up in L.A. But at that point, Trey Lance, considering the lack of football he played and the inexperience, I was thinking, boy, he needs to play right away.
What about like Drake May? So like Drake May is in New England right now. He's really only played a couple of years with Carolina, and now he's in New England. They have Brissett, who has about 50, give or take, career starts. We know what Brissett is, and at some point, he's probably going to get benched, and they're going to go to Drake May.
I would start Drake May. What do you have to lose in New England?
Well, he could get hurt.
He could get hurt. I mean, he could get hurt anyway.
Even if they're
good. But we know what Jacoby Brissett, and if you're that team in that program, and I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself. Look, my preference is to sit the guy. But each situation, as you said, is different. That situation in New England, Patriot fans have no hope right now.
No.
You go out there and watch Jacoby Brissett. That is frustrating.
That is boring. That reminds me of Brian Hoyer.
Right. Don't you want to just see a glimpse of the future, see some flashes?
For sure.
It's such a situational thing because I'm sure when Trey Lance came out, were both of you on the camp of he should start immediately?
Yeah, I wanted because he needed to play.
He needed reps. He still hasn't gotten those reps yet.
It's the chicken before the egg. Like I go back and forth depending on the situation. So great point. Like Michael Penix. Michael Penix is ready to play right now, and I think he can help them win.
Yep.
That's why the Kirk Cousins thing is all over the place. I'm like, no, you can't sit Michael Penix. He's already 24 years old. I think he should be playing.
I will say this about directions. Yeah, and with Trey Lance, we were so down on Jimmy, and it felt like the head coach was down on Jimmy.
That's true.
And it was like, dude, you traded heaven and earth for the number 3 overall pick. Let's roll here. Now, Penix, I will say this about Penix. I know a lot of people are high on Penix, and maybe I'm putting too much stock into one game. But the Michigan Wolverines last year, and hell, right now, I think Wink Martindale is now their defensive coordinator, the Michigan Wolverines. They run a sophisticated defensive set. They run a very sophisticated defense. Pro concepts all around the board. And maybe it's too much stock into that one game. But I saw Michael Penix get some happy feet in that football game. I did. I he got hit. He was a little off with some of his throws. He threw a pick right out of halftime. He was confused. He was dazed at times.
A lot of great quarterbacks.
They have bad games. But it was a glimpse of like, Maybe he needs a little more seasoning.
Well, okay.
And so I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to say, sit Michael Penix for a few starts here behind Kirk Cousins to learn and see the speed of the game. You just pay Kirk Cousins all that money.
Well, that was I think that's the mistake that they're looking at now. This is from April, and it's playing itself out in real time. It's so situational. But like Stetson Bennett played a lot of football, a lot, and was huge on huge stages. Nobody thinks he can play.
No, it's.
But I do believe, to Tom Brady's point, in like when you're evaluating these players going from college to the pros, Sean Payton's talked about it, McVay's talked about it. There's so much bubble screen, and you're going to throw to this guy right here, and there's nobody else you're going to look at. They wipe a lot of that away when they're doing these evaluations. Yep. And you don't have a lot of like pocket quarterbacks or I guess dropbacks for pocket quarterbacks to evaluate. It's so difficult. The hashes are different.
Yep.
Just the way defenses are very, very different. And I find it very fascinating that Brady came up in a different era and then he played in this era where all the rules are now skewed toward offenses. It's very interesting. Like Jaden Daniels this year. He was really, like, he had one monster season. He played a lot of football. He played at Arizona State, played at LSU. He had a monster year. And he looks really good, but if you told me he struggled this year, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, he's a rookie quarterback in the most... in the most difficult league in the world.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to see defenses he's never... Alabama may run pro concepts at times, but they don't have pro athletes, right? They have great college athletes who become pros, but boy... he's going to see things from the New York Giants. He's going to see things from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to see things from all over the league that he's never seen before. And yes, there will be struggles. Now, you got to have patience. I think that's the one thing that this league doesn't have anymore.
And
the fans.
Totally agree.
We see 1 year of a quarterback and he struggles and it's like, let's move on.
Bryce Young has no talent around him. We don't think the coaching is any good, okay? And we're ready to throw him out. He was a baller in college.
Yeah, no, in high school, played at Matter Day. He played at the top level in high school, top level in college, and he was awesome. He needs weapons. I think back to Ben Roethlisberger. If he had the first couple years he had in today's game, people would have been ready to run him out of town. Go look at his numbers. I think he threw for more than 200 yards once as a rookie. They still advanced to the AFC Championship game.
Mac Jones had picks. a better statistical rookie season than Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl really struggled. Like Jimmy Garoppolo in Super Bowl 54 had a better Super Bowl than the one Roethlisberger won against the Seattle Seahawks. Stats-wise, it was better. But the Steelers understood. Running game, defense... our quarterback will grow with time. And by the time Ben Roethlisberger won his second Super Bowl, he did it with his right arm, making great plays. Now he had to help with the greatest play in Super Bowl history, in my opinion, with James Harrison, the 90-yard interception return.
Greatest
it's one of the great plays of all time. But he had to grow it to be in that leader. Same thing with Tom Brady. That first Super Bowl with Tom Brady, he had the game-winning drive. They scored 20 points. They played a very conservative brand of offensive football. So if you do start your rookie... don't put too much on his plate. Like Tom said, simplify the game.
Do you think there's a lot on Brock's plate?
I think he's starting to get fed a little bit more. Early on, hey, you're going to throw it to this spot. You just do what you do. But I think as the season went on last year, more did come onto his plate. Now, can he handle it at a high level? We shall see. By the way, Andrew Filippone from our sister station out there, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. He'll join us at 9:20 to get the latest on the Pittsburgh Steeler angle and what's going on in Pittsburgh with Brandon Ayuk. Because are they still in play for Brandon Ayuk? Gosh, this is just lingering. I thought he signed 2 weeks ago. You see the latest, Travis King, our boy Travis King, tweeted yesterday that the deal was close with Brandon Ayuk at the 49ers.
Are you serious?
I mean, okay. Pro Football Talk put this out this morning at 7:48. Our boy Mark Florio. There's nothing wrong with being a great system quarterback. Brock Purdy apparently wants to be more than that.
Oops.
An ugly moment from Sunday night should be the thing that gets him to shift his focus back to being a great system quarterback. And it was Florio talking about the one play where he rolled out, tried to throw across his body. Everyone knows what play we're talking about from the preseason game. And he's making this huge sweeping indictment that... you know, Purdy's a system quarterback, and he shouldn't try to do more than he needs to. I think all quarterbacks have to make plays outside of structure, and Purdy is good at making plays outside of structure, and that's his calling card. Every quarterback's going to have bad games. They're going to have balls they throw up that aren't good. That's just, I mean, Tom Brady had, you know, ugly picks. Everyone does. Peyton Manning had, fourth year was ferocious, in the words of Lo Neal. So, we're really going to freak out about one bad throw from Brock Purdy when 30-something games has been amazing?
I mean, that's what people do during this time of year, right? That's what people do.
Do you want him to be more than a system quarterback?
I mean,
or do you just dismiss that whole notion?
Look, preseason football, there's no reason to freak out about a guy who just was third in the MVP voting. If you're freaking out over a throw in the preseason where he's experimenting, throwing to guys like Trent Taylor and Braden Willis and Danny Gray and whoever else was out on the field, I mean, maybe you just need content. That's what it is in August. It's such a slow month. We think that it's August training camp is back. And then it dies down all the time. It dies down. And now I just think people need content. Honestly, honest to God, if you're freaking out about a throw with Brock Purdy in the preseason game against the New Orleans Saints, when Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Trent, Adam, Aaron Banks, McCaffrey, Juszczyk, Kittle, Warner, if we're freaking out over this, then it's going to be a long year. Like, the fact that we could write articles about this and people say, yeah, he's got to stop doing that. Well, some of that stuff is what made us love Brock Purdy.
I mean, you hired Kyle Shanahan to run this system. And to this date, Brock Purdy's ran the Kyle Shanahan system as good as anyone.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, he can system quarterback his way all the way to a Super Bowl victory.
Well, that whole system quarterback thing, too, is...
It bugs you, huh?
They all run a system. See, game manager. Yeah, that's what the quarterback is supposed to do. He's supposed to manage a game. Don't turn the ball over. You're going to laugh at me for saying this, but like in the midst of my LSU dynasty, right? And I've had a schedule this year. Big boy schedule. In the rain. Tough game. 21-17.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.